Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's message is entitled, Finding Value for a Fallen Soul. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing this day to truly understand these parables, that we may indeed know what it is to find value for even a fallen soul. For the precious blood of Jesus is of infinite value and brings that to all souls, that all the angels in heaven might rejoice over the one sinner who repents. Amen. Well, if I were to open my wallet today, and it's a little difficult to get in through all of those robes and such, but start dropping coins over the pulpit here. Yeah, you're going to hear them clink and all that. You might wonder, well, isn't there going to be some kind of response to that? I think that if we were in any other setting, most of us would be chasing the coin first and reading the value on it later. Maybe you've seen grown men chasing nickels on a subway platform. Maybe even a smaller child as well. Now there's some risk and danger to the coin chaser that he might fall or get knocked onto the tracks. But look how it is that we'll track down things of even little value. Now, there was a woman who had 10 drachmas, but lost one. We really have no idea how much a drachma was worth, how much buying power it had. And we have no idea really how large her house was. But we know that some of the homes in Christian communities served as churches. And I suspect it was one of these. And these larger house churches would have accommodated up to 100 worshipers, congregations larger than our own. Perhaps some homes also had a series of earthen floors. So the coin, it wouldn't be easy to find. She had 10 coins and she lost one. You know, she could have cut her losses, accepted the 10% loss and moved on. After all, she had no guarantee of finding it, no guarantee that all the effort she put in would be recouped. Instead, she does everything she can to find that lost coin. She lights the lamp, she sweeps the floor until she finds it. Now, when this woman finds the lost coin, the whole community gathers around her in joy. And when she has found it, she calls them together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Even the whole community rejoices with her over finding something of comparatively little value like that. Now, what of the shepherd? He's got 100 sheep. And he loses one. It's 1% of his flock, if you want to look at the loss that way. And imagine the cost in trying to find it. Is it really worth all of his trouble? You know, the average shepherd might have had 15 sheep. If you had 40, you were considered rich. If you had 100, you were like the super rich. What is this one sheep to you as a wealthy flock owner? But this shepherd walks difficult terrain to find him. He doesn't send even another hireling to do his work. This shepherd goes himself. I imagine he's probably getting wet, muddy, tired, if not that hot, dry, and parched. And a sheep is not easy to find. When frightened, they hide. They even shake till they're immobile with a fear that just makes them stand still, hide in the thicket. When he finds it, it will not walk or lead be like a decent animal might be, like a dog or something like that. No, it's immobile. The sheep has to be carried on his shoulders. The weight to carry, the smell of it all. And yet he does it to the amazing and rejoicing of everyone. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." Now remember, I asked you to think about the audience. And all the while, the Pharisees and scribes are there, their primary audience for these parables. And they're all being carried away because Jesus, you know, he's a master storyteller, and they're nodding their heads in approval. You know, they would all be there chasing that coin. Even on a subway platform, they would be there with the woman sweeping the floor. They would be even looking for 1% of the flock. But what of the human being that is lost? Keep that question in your mind. What of the human being that is lost? What is the value of a wayward man such as the prodigal? He's dripping in sin through and through, especially in the eyes of the Pharisees, especially even probably in the ordinary minds of the good people here at our Savior. He contravenes customs and everyone's sensibilities. He's neither polite nor humble, demanding rather than requesting, "Father, give me a share of the property that's coming to me." And the father obliges, and he divides his property between his sons. Now his rudeness is bad enough, but he goes on to squander all that he has in reckless living. Later, the elder son, in true Pharisaical fashion, spells out exactly what the reckless living is. He tells his father, "This son of yours has devoured your property with prostitutes." And worse than that, you could probably say, what could be worse than that? But there is something worse than that. Worse than that, he effectively abandons the faith. He separates himself from the faith, going into a far country, leaving behind the promised land of Israel and any association with the synagogue and the temple. He's immersing himself with a pagan people in a pagan land. Even with the pigs and those dreaded pigs, even immersing himself with the pigs and all of that. But sin's pleasures last only a short time, and the prodigal returns. Can he return and be redeemed? In true Pharisaical fashion, the elder son is going to say no. Can he reinstate his value? Can he be so much as a hired hand in the kingdom? Hired hand. The father in the parable shocks everyone there, especially the Pharisees. He probably shocks us. We didn't know the outcome. The father says, "He is my son. He returns to our family. Bring the best robe. Put the ring on his finger. Slaughter the fatted calf. Let's rejoice. Celebrate." And all those who would chase after a coin or tramp through the mud in danger to carry some obstinate sheep would not do as much for a human being. In fact, they would side with the older brother who argues, "Look, I've worked hard for you, Father, always." And I dare say that in our own hearts, we're tempted always to think likewise. And when we are tempted to think likewise, it's because we don't have the heart of our Heavenly Father. Neither do we see ourselves as the lost coin or the lost sheep or that lost son. But God gives wisdom to those who call upon Him. Is there anything really, though, that separates us from this lost coin, this lost sheep, this lost son? I ask you, examine your conscience. The lost coin cannot call to the owner. The lost sheep is hopelessly immobilized in fear. The lost son, in the eyes of the community, has irrevocably sullied himself in the eyes of all, totally dependent on the mercy of the Father. When we see ourselves as sinners, isn't our paralysis and our hopelessness just as disabling? When we examine ourselves, can we say, I have never wandered in my heart from the promised land? And don't Jesus' words, he who has not sinned may cast the first stone. Don't those words strike our souls as powerfully in us as in those first hearers? We forgive even the greatest and most grievous of sins and slights when we see ourselves in the forgiven. My elder son, don't you realize that, son, you've always been with me, and all that I have, all that there is, all that is mine is yours. It's time to behold the blessings which we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying this to the Pharisees. He's saying it to us. Behold the blessings that you have. Behold the forgiveness. Contemplate the cross which the Father sent His Son as sacrifice to for all of you. Such love is ours, O ye elder brothers. The precious blood of Jesus, which is shed for you, has also been shed for your brother, the prodigal. When we see ourselves as that prodigal, we may forgive our wayward brother. We will rejoice with God the Father and all the angels in heaven when He is found. We'll rejoice in community. Therefore, in such love, may we be humble. May we bear forgiveness, loving our wayward brother. For in loving Him, we see ourselves in Him, and we love ourselves also. May this message strike the very depths of our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise. O God, the Holy Spirit, enter our hearts this day through the word that has been proclaimed. May we indeed be a loving, forgiving, embracing people as you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.